This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspect charged in the Boulder firebombing attack at a Jewish rally is due back in court tomorrow to face more charges. Authorities say more victims came forward and the total number of those injured has risen to 15. Mohammed Solomon's family has also been taken into custody, but a federal judge today temporarily halted their deportation.
Now, federal officials had said once they took this family into custody, they were being processed for an expedited deportation. In fact, we've seen from one member of Congress that he had said that they were going to be deported to Egypt as soon as this week. But now, according to this judge's order, that is on hold at least temporarily until there can be some kind of hearing.
ABC's Trevor Ault. A manhunt continues for a Washington state father suspected of killing his three school-aged daughters after a court-ordered visitation. Authorities found the bodies were near a campground. Police say Travis Decker could be armed and dangerous. And on Wall Street, stocks ending mixed today. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is calling for the state to lift its vaccine requirements for kids attending school or child care programs. During an event in Milwaukee last week, Senator Johnson said he believes some childhood illnesses, like measles, have been eradicated through better hygiene and sanitation, not just the vaccine. The comments also come as measles outbreaks pop up across the country, with over 1,000 confirmed cases in 31 states. Kids are required to receive the vaccine under state law to attend school or child care programs. Republican lawmakers are proposing new legislation to fine Wisconsin residents who intentionally misrepresent their pet as a service animal. The bill would change the definition of a service animal under state law to more closely align with federal law. Current state law considers any animal trained to assist people with a disability to be a service animal, but federal law is restricted to dogs and miniature horses. Residents who violate the law could be subject to a $200 fine for their first offense and a $500 fine for subsequent offenses. The Music in the Parks, presented by the Friends of Vernon County Parks and Forest Concert Series, kicks off Wednesday with Spunky Bumpkins performing at Sidey Hollow County Park. The free, family-friendly series will feature 13 Wednesday evenings of live outdoor music throughout June, July, and August, rotating between Sidey Hollow and Esophia Rents Memorial County Parks. Concerts run from 6 to 8:30 each Wednesday night. Food and beverages will be available for purchase. Bring a chair or blanket and enjoy the music. For more information, visit VernonCountyFriends.org or follow on Facebook. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Milwaukee Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee defeated Cincinnati 9-1 today to take two of three games in the series. Jackson Churio had three hits, including a two-run home run to help spark the Brewers' offense.
Speaking of Churio, fly ball out to right, sending Benson back. He is staring and gone. Jackson Churio hits his 10th home run of the season, and the Brewers jump out to a 3-0 lead.
That call courtesy of FanDuel Sports Wisconsin. Three Brewers pitchers combined to allow just four hits and one run, with Quinn Priester getting the victory. It's the ninth win for the Brewers in their past 10 games. Milwaukee heads back home to play the San Diego Padres starting on Friday. With a 21-5 victory today over Messiah, UW-Whitewater clinched the Division III College Baseball Championship. It's the Warhawks' third title and first since 2014. Tonight is the start of the Stanley Cup Finals between Florida and Edmonton. The NBA Finals begin tomorrow as Oklahoma City takes on Indiana. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, some areas of smoke and lows in the low 50s. A return to sunshine for tomorrow. Pleasant day, high in the low 80s. Couple of pop-up showers on Friday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Emily Mills will join us from the recombobulation area on an intriguing story about AI and its effect on the environment, as well as what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, June 4th. As we creep ever closer to what is supposed to be summer, kind of a nice day today. Hope you're having a great day. Glad you're with us here to forget the cares or the concerns or stresses of the day. And let us help you ease into your evening here at Nightlight when we talk about some movies. We got some stand-up comedy on tap. Wow. Need a roadmap to get to that one. then we'll talk to our pal. A Civic Media colleague who is always fun to have on the show. Got a fun question, anxiously looking forward to reading your texts about said question, and just all kinds of fun stuff tonight. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a nice day out. I got outside today. I went, did a little nine holes in the morning. So okay. That was fun. And, I had one of the best feelings, this group of four let me play through because I was just a solo.
Oh, wow.
And I absolutely smashed the ball, my drive. And they looked at each other and said, damn.
Wow.
That made me feel really good.
What do you do with that, though?
It means I'm getting better.
It just makes you feel good temporarily, you know, right?
Because
just...
on the other side, the worst feeling is when they let you play through and you get the ball.
Shank.
Not even 5 feet.
Right.
So
that's awful.
Yeah. So I had the good side of that today. So it made for a good day.
That's all you needed.
Yeah, that's all I needed.
All right. Well done. Well, we had, like you said, it's a great day. It's good weather today. I did nothing. I was inside all day. And I try to get out a little bit every day, take a walk, do something. But today I just wasn't feeling it. I knew I had to be here early because we recorded an episode of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, which I'm excited to be on. And we had to record my stuff for New Wisco Weekend. I've got a great classic pick this week. Have you ever seen Dazed and Confused?
Yes. And what is your classic movie pick? You said Dazed and Confused. I'm like, oh, thinking about summer, that's
a
perfect
summer movie. Because yeah. It takes place on the last day of school. And, you know, it's funny. I was watching parts of it last night because I haven't seen it probably in about 10 years just to kind of refamiliarize myself with it, even though I've seen it 5 times and I could write the thing in my sleep. But it reminded me of like these high school kids that adore, idolize, whatever, rock and rollers, because that's the life they want. They want to smoke dope. They want to drink beer and party. And that's encompassed by the music they listen to. Like the main character in the film is Pink Floyd. I forget Jason London plays the main character and his name is like Jeremy Pink Floyd. They nicknamed him Pink because of Pink Floyd. And it took me back to the late 70s in my neighborhood in Chicago. We were hanging out at a public school, just sitting there. We played fast pitch against the wall. We had a little strike zone drawn, and that's where we used to play fast pitch. So I always hung out with older kids when I was younger. And some of the older kids, they were like these guys in Dazed and Confused. They worshipped Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Aerosmith. And it was like, you know, when you don't really relate to that, I don't even think I liked girls at the time. I was probably like 10, you know, but I'm listening to these guys talk. And someone wrote on the side of the school, it was graffiti. They wrote Pink Floyd. It's spelled, I can't remember if it was Pink or Floyd wrong or something, but this idiot couldn't even spell the name of his favorite band before he wrote graffiti on a school. And one of the guys in the group I was with said, and all Conrad, he was so serious. It was impressive. He said, whoever wrote that doesn't even deserve to own a pen. And I just remember, like, that line stuck with me my whole life. Like, I thought it was, I don't know if I thought it was funny or didn't realize it was funny until I got older, but the fact that you're drawing a line in the sand to defend your band, and how do you spell Pink Floyd wrong anyway? It was probably some stoner who wrote it. You know, I mean, everything about it was funny to me. Doesn't even deserve to own a pen. And he didn't even write it in pen. It was obviously spray painted Pink Floyd, but oh my God, it was funny. And that movie Dazed and Confused reminds me of that moment. I think when I first saw Dazed and Confused, that's probably when I recalled this moment from my life, from when I was so much younger. But such a great film. That will be on this weekend's New Wisco Weekend, hosted by Lisa Hale here in Northeast Wisconsin. You can catch it on this. You can find it on the Civic Media website, correct?
That is true. Yeah. Under New shows. Wisco Weekend. Yeah. It's right in there. New Wisco Weekend.
And the theme is summer.
So yes. Yes, it is.
It's going to be exciting. And that's why I picked Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused takes place on the last day of school in 1976 in a small town in Texas, even though they shot it in Austin. But not much plot, but great characters, and it will take you back. Even if you didn't grow up in that era, that was a little before my era too, but I relate to everything about it. Kids just looking for a party, wanting to go where everybody's going, find their way. It's just so much fun. And Richard Linklater is an absolute brilliant, brilliant director. I like everything he's ever done. And there's a couple I still have to see. But love his films. Okay, fun show tonight, folks. Chicago-based stand-up comic Brian Hicks will be here at 6:35. Brian's been on the show before. He's always fun. We have a little clip of his comedy we'll play either before he gets here or during. And he did a dry bar special. He's lots of fun and a very, very good comic. He will be here at 6:35. And our pal Todd Alba will be here in the second hour at 7:20. Todd is always a blast too. The last time Todd was on, was that the popcorn pick of the week when he had the hat, cowboy hat on and the cigar? Okay. I hope Todd feels like he doesn't have to outdo himself, because that would be tough to top.
Well, if he aces this quiz that I curated, I think he did outdo himself.
Well, Todd and I are going to go head to head on this quiz. And I don't like my chances, I'll be honest, because Todd, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy through and through. I admit I'm a transplant, first as a kid, then as an adult, but it's my home now. I love Wisconsin. And Todd, I think, spent his whole life here. So he's probably got the edge, but I do like my chances. I'm going to give it my all.
We'll see.
I'm going to leave it all on the field.
It's called Where Are You?
Is that the name of the quiz?
Yeah.
All right. I asked you to do this, and I hope you didn't skew it towards the host. Because I do want to face Todd in this. I feel like I've, you know, I love a good quiz, and sometimes on the show I give them. Sometimes I like to square off against guests, but I also don't like to make guests look bad.
No, it's very evenly matched. I didn't skew it anyway.
Good. I was going to challenge Norm Kapeski to an arm wrestle, but again, I don't want to make the guest look bad, right?
I think he might pull that off.
Here's what would happen, Conrad. I'm surprisingly a good arm wrestler. I know I don't look it, but Norm, that would be a train wreck either way, because he would either destroy me immediately and he would smack my hand down so I break a knuckle, you know, something like that. Or by the grace of God, somehow I would win and I'd feel terrible because he's a sponsor.
Well,
I don't want that either.
I think if he won, he'd just feel bad for you because he's sponsoring the show. So he wants to make you feel
better.
He wants
to make me. See, we both want to make each other. So maybe what we should do, Norm and I should agree. It's like a prize fight where they say, all right, you go down in round three, you go down in round five, make it look like a draw, so everybody walks away a winner.
Any, I think that any could Jake Paul fight, just like that.
Yeah, right, any Jake Paul fight. Is Jake the fighter or is it the other one, the other idiot?
Both. Oh, I mean, Logan's a WWE wrestler now, and Jake is a boxer. Quote.
You know what? I got to get this Paul taste out of my mouth. So let's go to the question of the night.
Talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite pre-streaming network drama? One-hour drama, folks. What's your favorite one? And that's before you had access to Ozark or The Sopranos or any of these streaming outlets. What was your favorite pre-streaming network one-hour drama? I'm getting kind of specific here. They're still out there. I mean, these shows still exist. The network is still churning them out. They've got the whole, I think they're all created by Dick Wolf now. You got the FBI series. You've got the Chicago, what do they call it? Not the trilogy. One Chicago series with Med, Fire, Police. You've got the SVU, Law and Order, and the one with Elliot Stabler, which is just not that good. I've given that a lot of chances. Organized Crime, it's called. But there's a lot of other ones. There was Grey's Anatomy, ER, LA Law, NYPD Blue, Felicity. All kinds of dramas back before streaming was the bomb. I'm going to have to think about this, even though it's my question. I thought about the question last night, but I've been kind of wrestling around with this. And I don't know that there's my wife used to watch when I first met her. We were in our early 20s. She used to watch Knots Landing. And I remember her being furious that they preempted Knots Landing for the UWGB Phoenix game because they were in the tournament. And my wife didn't care about basketball. She was livid. So I don't know. I might have to go NYPD Blue as my favorite pre-streaming network one-hour drama. But what's yours? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the stream. Reach out to us there, folks. We love to hear from all of you, regardless if it's the stream, if you're watching the radio, if you're listening to the radio on the app, let us know. We'll read your text on the radio, and we will get that done. So Conrad is pointing. He's giving me the we're number one with the downward finger, which means he's pointing. We have a text, I think. No, I haven't forgotten about the Scani contest. Thank you for the reminder, yeah. But I don't have my sheet in front of me, so I was going to read it after the break. But so, we could do it. We can wing it. It's the Scani Summer Civic Media Text to Win contest. Well, let's see how I do here.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Yeah.
It's very easy to play. You do have to have the Civic Media app. That's all we ask. Download the app if you don't already have it and listen for a keyword at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m.
Look you at aced that. You aced it.
Take that, Alba. I'll see you at 7:20, buddy. get the keyword, text it in, and you're eligible to win our hourly prize, which is $100 in cash or club-level seats to a Milwaukee Brewers baseball game. And once you enter the hour, every hour that you do enter, you're eligible for our grand prizes, which is two summer vacation getaways at Door County and in Baraboo, two of the most beautiful spots we have here in our beautiful state. And Civic Media is even throwing in gas money. All you have to do is have the app, folks. It's very easy to play. Listen at those times to get the keyword, text it in, and you are all set. Good luck, everybody. It's Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win Contest. How did I do, Conrad?
You did great.
Damn, that's at least a B plus, right?
I think that was an A minus.
All right, I'll take it. Lots of fun stuff tonight. As I mentioned, Brian Hicks, we got some comedy. Todd Alba and I are going to take a quiz about Wisconsin. That's going to be fun. We talked a little bit about Dazed and Confused. Oh, we've got one of our texts from Bud, and there is a social media clip. I want to play that clip. I heard a new show on Apple TV about golf. Man, we got a lot. I don't know how we're going to do this. We've got 8 hours of show, and we've got about an hour and 40 minutes left.
I think we can do it.
I think so, too. Godspeed, Nightlight. All right, we're going to do all that. We're going to read your text when we come back, and I am going to tell you all. I'm going to play a clip I heard that I thought was fantastic, very uplifting. You're not going to want to miss it. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shiny, happy people. Everyone.
cry. Happy, happy. Put it in your heart.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great to have you here at the Civic Media Radio Network, hanging out with us on a Monday night, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Green Bay is one of the, you know, it's one of the cities that's going to be on the Peachwaba Todd Albaugh quiz.
Maybe.
Well, it's got to be.
It is.
All right.
But you just don't know when it's going to happen.
No, I've, you know, right. I think Green Bay is one of the cities. I've never lived here, but that's I commute nice. Here every day. Well, yeah, sure. And I think I know enough about it. Like,
do you?
After Green Bay, I might be done. Unless Madison's out there, but maybe Milwaukee. We have a great show. Brian Hicks, comedian Brian Hicks. He is a stand-up, Chicago-based stand-up comedian. We'll be here at 6:35. Our pal Todd Albaugh will be here at 7:20, host of the Todd Albaugh Show, which you can hear on Civic Media every day from 2 to 4, produced by the amazingly talented Aaron Zommers as well. So Todd will be here at 7:20. Going to be a good time. What is your favorite 1 hour? You just said something during the break. You don't really remember those shows, but they are still on. You can pick one. You don't have to go back to the 90s, you know.
Yes. You know, since I'm 25, when I was younger, I didn't really watch dramas. And then when I was in that age where dramas would be a thing, streaming was there.
Right.
So it was hard to, I guess I'd say either One Tree Hill or Degrassi, but I never watched them all the way through, like on network. You know, it was just like an episode randomly at times.
Right.
So one of those, and I mean, One Tree Hill is like brings up your anxiety really bad, I feel like. that show is takes turns like crazy. And then Degrassi is just terrible TV. So,
and you loved it.
Yeah. Those are the only two I could think of though. So they're not my favorite, but those were what I grew up with, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to my pick of the week was almost Mission Impossible 3, and Carrie Russell's in that. So she was also in a show called Felicity that I wrote promos for, kind of in a freelance capacity when the show was on the WB. That was a really good show. And J.J. Abrams was the executive producer. I think it was the first show he created. He's the one who came into the Mission Impossible franchise and gave it new blood with Mission Impossible 3 and blew me away. I was like, oh my God, this guy created this drama about a girl going to college. And it was a well-done show. I didn't really watch it much other than to write promos, but I thought Kerry Russell was great. The show was good. And then Kerry Russell shows up in Mission Impossible 3 and was outstanding and goes on to be in the show The Americans, which is a great show. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't like Felicity was well done. I would have to say probably NYPD Blue. I was never really a big Med or Fire. Not the Chicago ones, but the previous ones like Chicago Hope or ER. Just never did it for me. But all right, so I saw this clip on Instagram. It was one of the few times weird stuff didn't come up on Instagram in my reels from some algorithm I apparently accidentally touched 4 years ago. But it's a great clip about gratitude, and it's from a comedian named Jimmy Carr. And it's just a nice reflection. It's like a minute long, and I love the stuff he says in this. Let's play it, Conrad.
You get used to how great your life is. No one had a hot shower until 50 years ago. So I try and do this thing when you stand in a hot shower. George Mack, my friend, pointed this out to me. Went, well, look, when you stand in a hot shower, just for a moment, just go, well, no one that you admire from 100 years ago had this simple pleasure in life. And when you look at the world that we live in, we're like, you're doing, there's been 100 billion people ever, right? We are in the top percentile in terms of the luck that we have had. The lives, like the calorific intake that we just take for granted, the fact that our children don't die, in the first year, the modern medicine and our lives and the entertainment that we get. We're living like kings. And yet, life has never been objectively better and subjectively worse, because the nature of humanity is our desires are mimetic. So we've got this thing where we sort of, you know, how happy are you? Well, it's your quality of life minus envy. That's how happy you are. And it's easy to look at everyone else and how they're doing and not take pleasure in what you have.
That is great. Objectively and subjectively, two different ways to look at something. Great perspective. And really, it is envy. Like, you look at social media, everybody's life seems great. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? I try not to have envy, you know, but I look at that shirt you're wearing and I want it. I feel bad and I'm envious and I just don't like you right now. So it's something that's my cross to bear in this life. But that's Jimmy Carr, a British comedian who I had never heard of before I saw that on Instagram. So there are some good things on social media from time to time. But gratitude, I mean, and that's kind of the buzzword for the last 10 years, practice gratitude, but it's easy to say, but we really have to do it, I think. And part of it for me is just laughter. I appreciate the ability to laugh every day at friends, other things I see on TV, TV shows, whatever. My kids make me laugh. I can't make my wife laugh. It's really hard to do.
Really?
Yeah. It's like most husbands struggle with, you know, getting their wife there sexually. I can't make my wife laugh. I love bringing up stuff Conrad can't even relate. He's like, what are you talking about? He just looks at me like, all right, our question. I'm starting to share more on this show. People, I'm letting people in.
Yeah. Yeah. You're and being I'm more open. I like
I
it.
I am. I got nothing to hide. I'm just a good looking rebel who plays by my own rules, folks. And doesn't like to toot his own horn. What is your favorite streaming network 1 hour drama? That is tonight's question of the night, folks. Let's go to the text line. David in Richland Center says NCIS, another franchise. Yeah, that's been around a while. Good one, David. Bronwyn, I think, I hope I'm saying that right. Twin Peaks, very nicely done from the 505, baby. Sadly, only one season. I just started watching that again. Great text. Thank you, Bronwyn. I hope I'm saying that right. Annie from Watertown says, oh no, NYPD Blue. Thank you, Annie. That's mine as well. Steven from the 262 says Hill Street Blues. Great show. I wonder if they hold up. You know, we should all watch an episode of these to see if they hold up. Don Brown in Waukesha. Our pal Donnie B. Hill Street Blues. I agree, Don. Come back on my show, buddy. All right, we're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabe at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is warning consumers of another phishing scam where scammers are texting and pretending to be from Wisconsin DOT, DMV, to get individuals to click on fraudulent links to reveal personal information. This recent wave warns of a final notice or of an unspecified unpaid traffic violation. Some scams duplicate the look of official WisDOT content. These are not from WisDOT or DMV. Wisconsin DMV urges consumers to be on the lookout and follow these tips. Be suspicious of demands for money in urgency. Do not share personal information with unsolicited emails or messages. If you have not signed up to receive email or text messages from DMV and receive an unsolicited text message or email from an unknown number or person, do not respond, engage with the caller, or click on links. And sign up for account activity alerts and renewal reminders by subscribing to Wisconsin DMV's eNotify. Like most bank accounts, you will receive confirmation of transactions on your account which alerts you to any fraudulent activities. Sign up for eNotify at wisconsindmv.gov/eNotify. If you are the victim of a scam, you may consider filing a police report with the local law enforcement agency where you reside. Report it to the Federal Trade Commission and or the IC3 at ic3.gov. Speak to AARP's Fraud Watch Helpline and Find Fraud Victim Support Groups. Request a free credit report and research identity theft prevention at annualcreditreport.com/index.action. For WRCE
News, entertainment
I'm
Joanne I'm Pete Schwabe. The King of the Hill actor who provided the voice for character John Redcorn has been killed in a shooting. TMZ reports that Jonathan Joss was found at the side of a road, shot several times. First responders tried life-saving measures, but pronounced him dead at the scene. Sources say Joss was shot by a neighbor after a disagreement. Police did track down the shooter within a few minutes. Joss played Redcorn from season 2 to season 13 of the hit animated show. Jonathan Joss was 59 years old. The Penguin's secret crush is no longer a secret. Danny DeVito had a good old-fashioned showbiz crush on Catwoman. The Twins star said when he was in Batman Returns, he had the hots for co-star Michelle Pfeiffer. DeVito sat down with Colin Farrell, also known for his role as the Penguin, on Variety's Actors on Actors podcast, where the two traded Batman stories. DeVito said Pfeiffer was his secret crush. DeVito says he lusted after her and loved her. Lucky girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, some areas of smoke and lows in the low 50s. A return to sunshine for tomorrow. Pleasant day, high in the low 80s. Couple of pop-up showers on Friday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now, too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was, too, when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
The show kicks off with Congressman Mark Pocan, who went toe-to-toe against Russell Vogt, head of the OMB, and ate his lunch. Don't miss our chat.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Down, down, down.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, folks. It is a beautiful evening here in the state of Wisconsin. We are in downtown Green Bay, where there are people walking back and forth, staring into the studio as they shovel gelato into their pie holes. And that, folks, is what summer means to me. Todd Albaugh will be here at 7:20. We are going to take a Wisconsin quiz. I am a two-time transplant to our fair state. Todd is a lifelong resident. I still like my chances. Todd is always fun to have on the show. Check out the Todd Albaugh Show here on the network from 2 to 4 every day. It's going to be fun. So stick around. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite pre-streaming network hour-long drama? We've got some texts to get to. We'll get to those as soon as we can on the stream. Dave Kunisch from Marinette, Moonlighting. Kind of forgot about Moonlighting. That was a great show. Cybill Shepherd, Bruce Willis. Kind of a different show. Dave also says 24, and you know what? I am changing my answer from NYPD Blue to 24. 24 was such a great concept. The season went on way too long. There were like three seasons within a season. But as far as network drama goes, I don't think you can beat that. It was really cool.
You know, I was going to say the same thing. I'm changing my answer to 24
to
because
24.
I remember watching that with my parents, actually, when I was younger. So, yeah.
And you thought there was a terrorist around every corner when...
It's 11.
How soon are you going back to Key West? Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the show. He's been here before. He is a Chicago-based stand-up comedian and one haluva guy, and his name is Brian Hicks. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm present. How are you, Pete?
You're present. All right, well. I was aiming higher than that, but I'll take that. It's good to have
you. I'm here. I'm doing great. No, thanks for having me.
That's excellent. Where are you? That looks like an interesting contraption there.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I've got some people who go out of their way for me. So I'm in the manager's office at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois. So.
Oh wow! So is that the club you're running, or I thought it was downtown?
I'm running downtown, but I'm also present here, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
At the Rosemont location, so I'm kind of back and forth between both clubs.
Wow. That's not a bad side hustle for a comedian, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could call it my side hustle, but yeah, I guess it is.
Or maybe comedy's your side hustle. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. It is a great gig. They treat me very well here, and super excited to be part of their team.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite drama, like a pre-streaming, like something you used to watch in the 90s or something?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening earlier when you were talking about it. I'm embarrassed to say, but you know what I really used to like?
Embarrassed that you were listening?
No, I was embarrassed that I'm
embarrassed to be here. So don't feel bad at all, Brian.
I don't even know. I guess it was a drama, but I used to watch Desperate Housewives every Sunday, and it was just like a staple at our house. I know it wasn't.
It was a good show.
I thought it was a really good show. I mean, it was something I got to do with my wife every week. It was like the 1 hour we spent together each week. It meant a lot to me.
That was it. That was the only hour, and you watched Desperate Housewives.
It's the only hour we enjoyed each other's company every week.
I'm sorry to hear that. And I know you're kidding. Yeah, you have a beautiful family. I see some of your Facebook posts. Your kids are getting bigger. Are you, when you have kids, like, and mine, I'm more or less an empty nester now. But does it make it easier for you to travel to do stand-up? Are you more willing to travel now that you don't have the young kids at home?
Yeah, I did a fair share of traveling when they were younger. It would certainly be easier to do it now, but with working at both the clubs, it's just tougher to get away now. So I'm doing less traveling probably now than I did before. But it would be easier if I had the opportunity to do it.
But it's easier when they're younger, because when you travel, you get a break from the kids, which is nice.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, you know, my wife would get upset because I would be on the road and she's at home with, you know, twins. We had twins at one point, so they're two or three. And she's like, I haven't slept. And I'm like, you think I sleep good in these hotels? I had to make it sound like I wasn't, you know, napping for 4 hours each day.
You think I'm living the king's life, hanging out with waitresses till 3 o'clock in the morning? And come on.
Yeah. I got up at 10 o'clock this morning. I went to have breakfast. They didn't have it anymore.
I couldn't get a moons over my hammy. That's hilarious. So I went to your website because I was like, we haven't talked in a while. I'm like, I'm going to check out Brian's website. And this is how rusty I am, Brian, and how embarrassed I am that I used to call myself a comic. I thought this was a great joke. When I noticed on your website, the bio, it said you were one of the most sought after comedians in America. And I was going to say, do you mean comedically? That's so bad. And then I look at the next line and you go, no, I'm not wanted by the police. You were 8 steps ahead of me. And I was terribly embarrassed.
I was thinking already.
You knew I was going to ask you that when you set up your website and I didn't even know you then.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for going to my website. I was wondering who that one click was. And now questions are answered.
You get the notifications. Are you, I saw in your schedule though, you're in Glenview, Illinois this weekend. I know we have some listeners in the Chicago area. Is that the Laughing Academy? It looks like, and that's,
it's a nice little room. They teach comedy to, kids and stuff. And I think comedy classes in general, but, it's a nice little room in Glenview and, it should be fun. It's like a Father's Day themed show because of the weekend coming up. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I've been there a few times.
That makes sense. It sounded very scholastic, so I'm not surprised by that. And do you not work the road much anymore? I remember when I met you, I had just moved back to Wisconsin, and you and our pal Mike Toomey were driving through Marinette, and that's how I met you. I had never met you before, so I think you guys were coming from the UP. Do you still travel to bring the funny?
Yeah, that's correct. We were coming from the UP. I think we had done a tour around. We went up the Michigan side, did a show over in Brimley or something, and then came back and did something over in the other side, the Wisconsin side. And then we came down and obviously stopped and saw you. I do still do some of that stuff. Honestly, I probably do more corporate stuff now than I have in the past. It's a lot easier and it pays better. The shows aren't as great, but, I still get my fix.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny when I heard you were working at Zany's are you like the GM now, or do you have
general manager.
So I won a contest there for college kids in like 1989. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, that downtown room, it's so cramped and love it. I love the character of it. And I have such great memories of going to see Skip Kiparis and Larry Reeb and Jimmy Higgins and all these guys. What's your take? And Rosemont, on the other hand, is a state-of-the-art room. It's brand new, beautifully designed. Very different rooms. Do you have an opinion on either one of them?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The downtown room has so much character. I mean, you walk in and you just, comedy is just clinging to your body. You're like, everybody who's ever done anything has gone through there at one point in their career. And some of them, even if they hadn't earlier on, they come back just to do it because they've heard so many things about the room. It's definitely wasn't made to be a comedy club. So that's what makes it unique, where Rosemont was built to be a comedy club. So they took all the good things about, you know, some other clubs and made it into that. But I have so many comics that come through and they just say this room is great. It's just, you know, it's very narrow and it's very low ceilings and compact. And it's, you know, typical downtown, like back in the 80s, I guess, when comedies, you know, used to be downtown, Pete, and the Funny Firm, I think, had 300 seats. And I went there the first time and I was sitting at a table about this big. And there were 8 of us sitting around it with our drinks, trying to lobby for not drink space on the table. Yeah, they would just cram people in there. It was crazy that they got away with it.
That's hilarious. So what is it like for you? Like, I'm kind of, you know, a lot of the comedians I knew don't have the capacity to actually run a club. They're lucky if they can get to the show and collect their money at the end of the week. Like, for you to do what you're doing, you must be one of the responsible ones, I'm guessing. Do you, if you had to pick right now, would you keep doing stand-up or do what you're doing?
Well, that's a great question. And I started working at a comedy club years and years and years ago. I started as a door guy and I was the manager after like 2 weeks. Cause I think it was just that Pete, the owner was like, oh, this guy seems pretty responsible. We should give him more to do. So I started managing, like just the floor manager of the room back then. I love doing comedy still to this day. I love it as much as I did when I started 25 years ago. So there's something to be said for that, because there's some people in the business who don't love doing it. I still like writing jokes, even though I don't do it as often as I should. When I do create a joke and I love it and it works, I'm like, this is why I keep doing it. But to feed the family, it's tough to make a living on the road. I mean, unless you're starting comedy now it's really easy. You just get one video that goes viral and you're eating for a month.
That's interesting. I want to talk about that. My guest is Brian Hicks. He's a Chicago-based stand-up comedian, but I met him in Wisconsin, which was kind of cool. He has had his own dry bar comedy special. We'll talk about that because it's great, but I want to stay on the club. What you just said, somebody gets a video and it goes viral. I was talking to my friend Mike Siegel yesterday, and we were kind of lamenting what other comics have said, that if someone has a social media following, they can get booked in a comedy club. And they might not be the funniest person in the world, but you know they're going to put butts in the seats. Where do you walk that line? Because I've talked to friends of mine here in Wisconsin that deal with the same thing. Do you book these guys, even though they might not be that funny?
Yeah, so here's what I will tell you from a club standpoint. You know, Zany's Downtown used to be 6 days a week. I think it was Tuesday through Sunday. And it'd be the same show all week long. It'd be Larry Reeve all week long, Tim Walco all week long, Pete Schwab all week long. And to get filled, you know, 120 seats, six nights a week and multiple shows on Friday and Saturday, to fill that all week long, it's very difficult to do, right? So now with the influencer, I guess you would call them, TikTokers, podcasters, whatever, it brings a new dynamic to it. So now on a Monday night, when we usually would have 20 people in the room, or a Tuesday night, 20 people in the room, we could book one of those acts and they'll sell it out. Tonight we have two shows for Christina Marinari. I might be butchering her last name. I apologize. But she's Kill Tony fame and, you know, was on Kill Tony and went viral with it and sold out two shows on a Wednesday night downtown. I think from a club standpoint, it's great for business. And she's a comedian, so that I can take that out of the equation, where she may not be funny, because she is.
Right.
But on other people are just happy to see who they follow and happy to see who their influencers are. And sometimes that's what it is. And most of the people that they bring in have never been to a comedy club before, Pete. So it's good for business, too, because if they come, they have a good time and then they spread out into the other comedy shows.
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, Brian, but I've got 185 followers on Blue Sky. So,
are you kidding me?
Where do I sign? Where's my bonus?
Yeah, we'll start with a Sunday matinee show, and then we'll work up from there.
I'll do my magic tricks. So that's interesting. But it's kind of the same. Like when I was doing stand up in the 90s, they'd bring in a guy who was on a TV show. I remember Mark Price, who played Skippy on. Family Ties. And I'm like, well, this guy's not funny, but it's the same thing. He was on TV, so people go see him. So I guess it's not really that different.
It really isn't. Yeah. Think about back in the day, lots of celebrities would come and just, you know, do a spot and people would show up. I mean, we still have soap opera stars that come. I didn't even think soap operas were on anymore, but we still have a star that comes to the club and sells 150 tickets on a Saturday afternoon. So there's definitely a place for it.
Brian Hicks is my guest. We'll have a few more minutes with Brian after this very quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to play a little clip from his dry bar special, too, which is outstanding. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage. message, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've been revisiting election denial hotspots this week, 5 years after the 2020 election. Monday, June 9th, a civil trial begins against MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, accused of defaming former Dominion Voting Systems election security expert Dr. Eric Coomer. Coomer, former director of product strategy and security for Dominion, found himself accused in a conspiracy theory claiming Coomer admitted rigging the election and his life was threatened. Broadcasters, podcasters, Lindell, and others allegedly repeated the claim, resulting in Coomer bringing 5 suits, 2 in Denver District Court and 3 in Federal District Court. 2 defendants, far-right broadcasters OAN and Newsmax, settled their cases with Coomer. Others tried to use Colorado statute giving courts the power to dismiss meritless defamation cases where defendants prove they are exercising free speech. So far, the courts have found for Coomer, and his cases were allowed to go forward. Lindell told The Bulwark that he would be taking the stand in his defense. The witness list also reportedly includes former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters, convicted of giving unauthorized access to the county's Dominion ballot tabulators to investigators tied to Lindell. Lindell told a D.C. federal court in April he could not afford the judgment in the case he lost to voting systems company Smartmatic. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Todd Alba will be here at 7:20. One of your favorite Civic Media hosts. We are going to square off in a quiz about Wisconsin. I've got the chills. Right now, we have Brian Hicks is here. He is a friend of mine and a Chicago-based stand-up comedian and also the general manager of Zany's, a very famous Chicago comedy outfit. Brian, what is it weird that you have the same name as a very famous comedian, same last name? Did that put pressure on you when you started doing stand-up comedy?
Incredible pressure, Pete. I don't even know how I was able to get out of my first open mic. There was so many questions like, who are you? Are you Bill? Are you Bill? You're Bill, right? You're Bill.
Could you ride that a little bit? Yeah, he's my cousin, Bill Hicks.
I certainly tried, but here was the thing. Like, I would have people bring me up on stage, and they'd ask me my name, and then I'd say Brian Hicks. And then they'd bring me up as Bill Hicks. And then as I was walking up, they would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I go, you're sorry. Imagine how sorry these people are going to be.
Brian did a dry bar comedy special a couple of years ago, and we have a little clip from that here, and we'll talk about it after the clip. Here's Brian Hicks.
I think me and my wife are perfect for each other. We argue, but it's not yelling arguing. It's all verbal. You know, it's like a verbal. It's mind games with each other. We just go back and forth, try to one-up the other one. I'll be honest, I usually lose the argument, okay? And I'll tell you why, because my wife cheats in the middle of the argument, and I never catch it because I'm not listening. And yeah, that's on me, I get it, right? But I don't think you should be able to cheat in the middle of the argument. She switches the argument and I don't ever catch it. I'm gonna tell you what happened, see if you guys could see. So we were watching TV and then she fell asleep, right? So I grabbed the remote and I put the game on. And then she woke up like an hour later. She goes, oh my God, what happened? What happened? I go, well, you fell asleep, so I put the game on. She goes, well, I was only sleeping for like 5 minutes. I go, honey, you were sleeping for over an hour. She goes, so what are you saying? I'm not allowed to take a nap? Yeah, that's not what we're arguing about here, right? Yeah, but I didn't just wake up from an hour's sleep. I was on my game this day, right? So I said, listen, I'm not saying you're not allowed to take a nap. I'm saying if you are napping, you are not allowed to work the remote control. That's what I'm saying. Because if we're being honest with each other, your choices, they're not that great. In fact, your last one put you to sleep.
Oh, that's Brian Hicks. Check out his Dry Bar comedy special. Just you can go on the Google, right, Brian? Brian Hicks,
yeah,
Dry Bar.
Should
take you right
it, yeah.
there, right?
Yeah.
You had another, I mean, the whole special's great. I've seen it, but have you ever actually used Kohl's cash?
Have I? I think I collect the Kohl's cash and I give it to my wife, and then she, oh. It gives her an excuse to go back to the store within 7 days and purchase something else.
I find that intimidating.
It is.
The Kohl's cash.
And real quick, let's go back to the Dry Bar special.
Yeah.
So that is approaching 1 million views.
Oh, no way.
Got 986,178 views, and I'm not keeping track, but I just happen to know that number off the top of my head. So in a world that I came up, you know, there was no crazy internet media, that stuff. To be coming up on 1 million views for me is a very exciting time, as you can imagine.
Dude, that is fantastic. I, you know, look, best case scenario, we'll get you to 1 million tonight just from the listeners, but I hope we can cut into that a little bit. That's really, were you nervous when you did that? Like, I didn't stick around long enough to even have an opportunity to do a half hour special, but a lot of my friends did. And I feel like I would have been terrified. Were you scared?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll be honest with you, every time I would put a camera on me to record, I would crap the bed, right? It would be a horrible set. So when I book that, you fly out to Utah, it's one night, two shows. And I had in my mind, I like put it in my mind. I go, once I get there and I do the set, it was like 20 or 25 minutes, whatever it was each show. That's the easy part. I do that five times a week.
Right.
I go, the hard part is the getting up, traveling, get to the airport, check into the hotel, rest enough, you know, get a rental car, go. So I looked at it and I go, that's the hard part of this gig. I go, when I'm on stage doing it was the easy part. And it really was. I usually get, if somebody does really well in front of me, it really gets into my mindset. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, they're going to hate me, you know? So the guy in front of me was doing really well. And I left the building because I didn't want to hear the crowd when he got off the stage.
Right.
So it worked for me because I left and I came back in before they announced me. And I didn't have any, I was like, yeah, he did good, but I go, I know I could do good too. So I did. And it was probably the best filming I've ever done in my life. So I was happy that it turned out into that.
Well, closing in on 1 million views, that's pretty fantastic. So
yeah,
I'm sure you'll get there. That's great. Were you always clean? Because I know Dry Bar, you have to be clean to do a Dry Bar comedy special. Did you have to clean up your act or were you already in the perfect situation?
Yeah, no, my stuff, even when I started, I don't know, I just naturally kind of wrote clean. I wrote dirty jokes too, but I don't know. I was always just a cleaner comic. And comics who would come to the club that I worked at, they would know that and see that. And then I got a lot of work with them because they'd see I was clean and they go, oh, I could bring this guy and he can open for me.
Right.
So I was just clean. So I didn't really have to change a lot for Dry Bar. There were a couple jokes that I stayed away from or kind of just tweaked them a little bit. But for the most part, it was pretty just me doing my setup there.
That's fantastic. Are you in a hurry? Can we keep you through the news and for a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure. I got a couple more minutes.
You got your wardrobe laid out behind you hanging on the door there. I can see it's very spiffy.
That's my Doug Stanhope jacket
I like that.
It's that's homage to Doug Stanhope.
Fantastic. All right, Brian Hicks is going to stick around for a few more minutes. I'm going to ask him what he's watching and who his influences were and comics he's looked up to. We'll do all that after intermission, folks. Civic Media's news team is about to tell you what's up. Stick around for that as well. I'm Pete Schwab, but we are coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's big budget bill in jeopardy. Billionaire and former Doge leader Elon Musk on X posting, quote, "We need a new bill that doesn't grow the deficit." House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We worked on the bill for almost 14 months. You can't go back to the drawing board, and we shouldn't. We have a great product to deliver here.
The father suspected of killing his three school-aged daughters near a Washington State campground is on the run. The public has been warned that 32-year-old Travis Decker could be armed and has military training. A federal judge blocking the deportation of the Boulder, Colorado firebombing suspect's family this afternoon, scheduling a hearing for later this month to hear the case. They told investigators no one knew that Mohammed Suleiman was going to carry out that attack at a demonstration to free Israeli hostages in Gaza. On a phone call today, President Trump says Vladimir Putin told him he will, quote, "have to respond to Ukraine's major drone attack that damaged dozens of Russian military aircraft." This is ABC News.